In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And the next couple of days, we're going to have a unique opportunity to talk to some missionaries. That's right, people in the field serving Christ, proclaiming the gospel in a multitude of different ways. And today in the studio, we have a guest, Mark Bottori. Welcome, Mark.
Well, John, it's good to be here. Being back at Brookside here, it's been several years since I've been back. And every time I come back, I find myself refreshed and greatly encouraged by the people here. I get into a lot of conferences and a lot of churches, but this one here, even after the services, like last night I told my wife, I said, should we flick the lights so people go home? We were here till late last night talking with folks, the great interest, and that is an indication of the health and the vibrancy of the Lord's work among God's people in a church. And so thank you for having me back. And on the broadcast also, this is a special treat for me.
Well, you're welcome. And to give our audience a little insight, we've been having a missionary conference that we do every year around this time of the year, where we invite 4 or 5 missionaries. We love on them. We serve them. We hear about their missions. They preach the word. And it's really designed to encourage us to be more faithful to the Great Commission. So I've got a few questions for you, Mark,
okay,
to kind of get us started. So help our audience understand, what is your mission?
Well, my wife and I, we have been in missions now for actually close to 45 years. So after I was saved, after I came to Christ, the Lord dealt with me about this and just really impressed on my heart the need to take the gospel to other lands, to take the people that never heard about Christ. And we were missionaries in Mexico. Kind of just give you a short version of what the Lord has done through us over these last 45 years. But we were missionaries in Mexico. What a delight to give ourselves to see people come to Christ and then go on for the gospel. But back in 83 it was, I became sick and ended up with a double case of hepatitis, left me in isolation in a hospital back home in Michigan, and we never really made it back for full-time service. But the church went on. And so while I was back in the United States here, Gospel Fellowship Association, of which now I'm the executive director, asked if I would help with the recruitment and talking with students about missions. And so that ended up sticking us in Greenville, South Carolina, where we've been now for the last 30-some years. But our ministry now, as the executive director, is that I oversee missionary activity in about 38 countries. We have just under 300 missionaries serving in those countries. And so my role is to encourage, to equip, to help, to serve, and to assist these missionaries any way possible. And also they're sending churches to help them, so that the missionaries can be faithful in doing what God's called them to do, wherever it is around the world.
You know, this is interesting, Mark. So you start off as a missionary, and then you get a health scare that literally debilitates you. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I just have to backtrack a little bit, because God doesn't do anything by accident. This was providential. And you're thinking, I was called to the mission field, Lord, and now I can't return. How did you grow through that situation, that trial?
John, I appreciate you bringing that up. We certainly, going into this broadcast, we didn't plan this, but I can see the Lord's hand in it. We loved the work in Mexico. We were prepared to spend the rest of our lives there. I remember when the Lord called my wife, Paula, and me to go to Mexico. And at first, it was hard to think we were going to leave our family, leave our culture, leave our country, leave our McDonald's, whatever, our food, to go to a foreign country. That was a difficult, but yet we were willing to do it, a difficult decision that we made. Well, you know, after the years in Mexico, they became our family. They became our culture. That became our country. We were so much given over to this that we were ready to spend the rest of our lives giving to reach these people with the gospel. And when I got sick, John, and I found myself having to be flown home to Michigan, flat on my back, could not get out of bed for 4 months. I was in desperate shape. And the doctor says, I don't think you'll ever go back to Mexico. John, that devastated me. How can you say that? No, we're going back to Mexico. But then week after week, flat on my back, and my health was in bad condition. And my wife kept on saying, well, maybe God just wants us to get to the point that we're willing to say, Lord, if you don't want us to go back, we won't go back. And I says, I can't say that. I can't pray that. And I'm going to tell myself a little bit, John, that I actually rebelled against the Lord. God, how can you do this? I was willing to leave my home, my family, my country, my food, and leave my language and go to a people that I did not know. And, Lord, you taught me to love them as my own family and the food as my food. I do love Mexican food, by the way. But now, Lord, you're going to tear me away from that again? This is not fair. This is not fair that you treat me this way. I told you, I'm telling it myself. I don't tell too many people this story because it does reveal what was still in my own heart. I had to respond to the Lord. I had to get to the point that I would say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get my heart into a state once again that it has no will of its own. Lord, if you don't want us to go back to Mexico, we won't go back.
Now, isn't this what the Lord does? And I think people lose sight. When trials come to believers' lives, God is focusing on a couple things because he sees the big picture, right?
Right.
But he looks into the deepest recesses of our heart and tries to find an idol.
Mm.
Because that idol is getting in the way of us becoming more Christ-like and giving ourselves wholly devoted to him. And it sounds like this trial was designed just for you, Mark.
It was. Some people resist the Lord's work. They resist a call. They resist, oh, would God put me in Mexico or in China or whoever? And they resisted, but when we yielded to it, it became the most wonderful, joyful thing of our lives. And so when we went, and then now to give that up, and you're right, I think that serving Christ became, being missionaries on a foreign field became my idol. I now wanted to do this. This was the greatest thing I could ever think of. But the Lord had to work on me. If I was going to be used, now by the way, when we went to Mexico, I was only 24. My wife was 22.
You guys were young.
We were young. And I had a lot of growing up, a lot of maturing to do. And this was a great step of maturing that Christ had to do in my life. That it was more important to him that my heart be right with him than to be a missionary in Mexico. When you get right down to it, my heart was so much given over to the work that I couldn't think of anything else. In fact, when I remember laying flat on my back in that bed and saying, Lord, you're messing it up. Lord, I pray that you bless this. And now look what you're doing. I'm telling it myself, but it was true.
Yeah.
The resistance of the Lord's will. But I had to get to the point. I remember that one night and I said, okay, I tell my wife, Paul, I said, you're right. I need to be able to give this over to God. And sobbing in prayer, okay, Lord, if you don't want us to go back, we won't go back.
And now that comes the most difficult part. Now that you've given over and accepted this change, what next, Lord, right?
Yes.
Because it's not like you immediately had an offer. You're trying to recover physically.
Yes.
But this also brings on another important part of any trial. Mm-hmm. It's not just to remove the idols in our heart, but it's to prepare us for something even more significant that we can be more useful.
And I look back on that now, being put back in the States, and we moved to Greenville, South Carolina, where the home office is of our organization, again, Gospel Fellowship Association. And they asked me if I would represent the mission and talk with students, recruit. And I said, okay, but as soon as I get my health back, we're going back to Mexico. I was still very, very focused on Mexico. And as time went on, it's a whole other story how it ended up. The Lord had to work on that also, that Mexico not be that idol in my life. And long story short, 1991, they made me the executive director of the organization. By the way, let me tell you this. When they first asked me to do this, We want you to stay, and we want you to be the director of the organization, the executive director. I told him, no. No, we want to go back. We're going back to Mexico. Even at that moment, I said no. And one of the men in that meeting says, yep, yep, I knew you were the right guy for the position. And I thought, wait a minute, but I said no. He said, but that's the right answer, brother.
The no is the
no.
Yes.
And I says, well, how can no be the right answer? He says, because we don't want a mission field fugitive in that position. We want someone whose heart would be there and not sitting in some office in the United States. I thought, oh, so what if I would have said yes? You know? But needless to say, God was at work. And all of this, even those years in Mexico, it was kind of my seminary training for what I'm doing now. It was that preparation to get my heart tender towards him, that he wants my heart more than he wants me to be a missionary.
And that is the heart of service. And, you know, our listeners who are listening in, whether they're serving right now in something they love or they're not serving at all, the issue is, where is your heart?
That's right. That's right.
Just out of curiosity, from a time frame, we're almost done with our first episode, and we'll continue more of the story next time. But from the time you came home and were sick, made the decision, all right, Lord, I'm willing to give this up, to the time you became the executive director, how much time had passed?
Well, let me tell you, it took me a long time before I said, I'll give this up. I was still, our heart, and even till today, our heart is for the Hispanic people. People wonder why we speak Spanish so well. Well, Hispanics, they say, where are you from? I said, I'm a gringo. They said, no, where are you from? They think I'm Colombian because of my appearance and such. We have American bodies, but our heart is still Hispanic.
Well,
we love it.
And think about it. Does love ever really go away? Genuine love is transcendent of time and place. But how much time passed, let's just say, from the health crisis to the offering to take the call?
Could have been 4 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Because in the intermediate time there, when I was back in Greenville, I said, I don't want to be stuck in Greenville. We worked at starting a Spanish-speaking church in Greenville. So we did. We planted a church in Greenville. And so that was always our heart. And so then when the time came, so now we want you to leave even the Hispanic ministry and go full-time as the executive director. That was about 4 years from the time.
So that's another pull.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Wow. Well, Mark, that's a very interesting story, and we're just scratching the surface of how you've become in this current mission. We still have a little time left, so let me ask you this. How did you get your wife on the same page?
Well, I got saved, Brother John. I was a 16-year-old, and God saved me. He changed my life. I'll tell you, I raced motorcycles, and I was in that culture, and I got saved. There was a 180-degree turn in my life. And I wanted to go to church. I went to the church just up the road from where I grew up. I walked in the church one Sunday night, Fundamental Baptist Church, and man, I was ready to go. And there was a young lady there. She said she remembers the first time I came in the door. And it was my wife. We've been married 45 years. But
wow.
I get on the same page. She was already there.
We're going to continue this part of the story next episode. Thank you, Mark, for spending some time with us. We're looking forward to hearing part two here on Word for Life.
Thank you so much, John. Glad to share. May God be with you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.